Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Tuesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXE Acre 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Perry Gardianos. Perry was born in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, New York in 1967, before moving to Westtown, New York in 1972 at the tender age of 5. After graduating from Minisink Valley High School in 1985, Perry attended Orange County Community College in Middletown, New York, where he majored in business before discovering his passion for health sciences and chiropractic. Perry then attended the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut and completed his pre-chiropractic education at the University of Buffalo in 1989. Then he was off to Chicago, where he spent the next 4 years studying chiropractic medicine at the National University of Health Sciences. In 1994, Perry returned to Middletown, New York and opened his practice. In 1995, he also joined the practice of Dr. Louis Savas on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. In 1997, Perry left the New York practice and focused his attention on his Middletown office. He purchased his current home and set about converting the first floor for his new office. This process took a little longer than planned, but in January 1999, Perry opened his new office and has been there ever since, much to the delight of the residents of Middletown and surrounding areas. Perry, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Welcome, Perry.
It's been a long time. I'm really, really excited to have you on the show. Nice to have you, mate. How was your drive here?
It was not bad. It was good.
Yeah? Did you take 84?
I took 84, yeah, and came up 9W.
And were you speeding?
I always do a little bit.
Now, Perry, you are undoubtedly the best chiropractor I have ever had the pleasure of being worked on from.
Thank you.
Yeah. What made you want to become a chiropractor?
Oh, wow. Well, when I was in high school, I got hurt in a wrestling accident. I threw somebody and the mat was wet and slipped and I hurt my neck. And that whole summer I was kind of sort of out of commission, and it was a chiropractor that helped me get back on my feet and put me back together.
Wow.
So that was my first real experience.
And ever since, you just wanted to...
I wasn't sure. I didn't know that's what I wanted to do at the time, but it kind of gave me a good direction. So when I went to college, at first I was just a business major. I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. But then quickly I sort of kind of focused in on that, and it became sort of the focus of what I wanted to do.
So do you think you've grown up now?
The jury's still out on that.
So did you decide a clear path when you went to college, or did you just...
At first, I didn't. It was probably the end of my second year at OCC that the decision was sort of kind of thrust upon me. I was actually going to go to Manhattan and pursue a degree in TV production and filmmaking. But then, I don't know, as fate would have it, I sort of fell into this thing, and I was like, wow, this is good.
Mike loves movies, don't you, Mike?
I do. Yeah, I'm... something a movie aficionado. But I'm curious, Perry, how did, what was it that made you want to get into filmmaking?
It's so long ago, I don't remember, but it just seemed very interesting. Yeah. And, like the kind of thing you could do that you'd never get bored with doing, because everything was something new.
Sure. So you have tremendous, freedom to create anything you want, I suppose, with film. Any world, any scenario, any scene, it's really neat.
Yeah.
Now, Perry, one of the things I know you like doing is going to auctions buying stuff.
I've been doing that a lot lately.
So what is it about that you enjoy?
Well, it's great to get a good deal. It depends. Like, I'll look... I'm sort of discriminating. I don't just get anything, but either I get things I need or I get things I know somebody else will need. And every once in a while, you get that diamond in the rough that's like, okay, I don't really need it, but I know somebody else will, and it's really cheap. I got to get it.
So what's the last thing you bought?
Ooh, the last thing I bought when Gander Mountain went out of business.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Bought a whole bunch of mannequins.
Nice. Sell them to a department store? Or?
Wait a minute. You bought human mannequins?
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of them now. Giving them away. But yeah, I've got a whole...
What do you use them for?
Well, I really only wanted like one or two because I wanted to use them to another side project to make a vacuum form. So I could vacuum form them and then make a whole bunch of others. But now I've got a bunch of them. I don't have to do that now.
Yeah.
And so that was the original thing. And then they were going out of business. So we piled a bunch of them on a dolly and were wheeling them out. And I expected to pay, I don't know, $30, $40 a piece for them.
Hmm.
And I goes, okay, it'll be $1. I'm like, each? He goes, no, just $1. I'm like, can I get the rest of them? He goes, yeah, get them out of here. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So how many did you get?
I don't know. Probably 7 or 8, whatever they had left.
Oh, okay.
A couple of half bodies, like 2 van loads.
So. Wow.
I was kind of imagining like a terracotta army thing that you could build in your backyard. I guess not. Well, not with 7 or 8.
I was just thinking about sticking them in the ground for Halloween. Just have
yeah.
arms and legs
together. So where are they?
They're all over the place.
Sitting on the couch.
I think there may be one in the back of my van right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised when you said that. I was expecting you to say something like a piano or something.
Yeah, better be careful who looks in your van. Might get some rumors started. I had a student once that comes in, Mr. Porter, do you know that Ben Franklin was a serial killer? And I was like, I've read a lot of history books and nothing like that, remotely close to that, has ever come up. And what ended up happening was in England, Ben Franklin had a roommate for a time who was a medical student and did autopsies on cadavers and then basically buried the bodies in the basement. And so that's what the article was about. Ben Franklin was not
a serial killer.
As far as we know, based on history and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, you got to be careful because you never know what high school kids can walk by. And
hey.
There's a body in the van. Do you dress them up?
And I've just got them, so they're just hanging around all over the place.
Smoking cigars. And
My brother took the lower half of one and just stuck it next to my front door. Later that night, I walked out, and I got this butt looking at me going.
You're just sitting in a house one night, and it's like 3 a.m. All of a sudden, one of the mannequins is like, so, Perry, how about a cup of tea? Anyway, let's move on. Now, Perry, your first song is... Well, what is your first song?
Bye Bye Miss American Pie, Don McLean.
It is about the 1959 plane crash that killed Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Ritchie Valens. And Don McLean refers to that as the day the music died. And there are many, many other references in the song that are disguised, you know, the Joker and the King. And for years, he was quiet about that. And people kind of worked it out and figured it out, but he wouldn't say until February 2015. He announced that he would reveal the meaning of the lyrics when the original manuscript went for auction, speaking of auctions, in New York City in April 2015. The lyrics and the notes were auctioned and sold for $1.2 million. And in the sale catalog notes, McLean says, basically, in American Pie, things are heading in the wrong direction. Life is becoming less idyllic. And that's what the song is about. So why that song?
Well, when I was a kid and we started going out, there was this little gym that we used to all hang out in. And every time we were there, somebody would play that song 2 or 3 times during the night. And it always takes me right back there to being 15, 16 years old, hanging out in a bar and just having a good time and not having to worry about anything.
About life.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, how do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, 'cause I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. The day that I die. Helter skelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. Played a marching tune. We all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. 'Cause the players tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died? We started singing, bye, bye, Miss America. Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, 'cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. In the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died, and they were singing bye bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry, and them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." They were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
Was Don McLean, American Pie, a classic. Good choice, Perry. Loved the song. Now, your next item is a wood lathe.
A wood lathe. One of my recent auction acquisitions. I've always wanted to play with a lathe, both a wood lathe and a metal lathe. And if I could have my druthers get a Bridgeport mill, so I could make anything after the apocalypse. but I just found this. I just got this wood lathe, and I'm watching YouTube videos of people turning bowls, and I'm like, I want to try to turn a bowl.
Cool.
And so
so have you done it yet?
Not that. I just got the tools the other day from Amazon, and still haven't had a chance to play with it yet.
I can't remember what the burls, I think. Like a wood burl, okay. Where a branch has maybe broken off of a tree and the tree heals and leaves like kind of a scar. I think that's what it's called, a burl. It's like this kind of clump on the tree.
Right.
Unc Slater turns those into bowls. Unc was a guest a few years ago. Right. He's made these beautiful, beautiful bowls by turning these things into really cool.
So how would you make a bowl with a lathe?
I've been watching videos for a while now. You can just get a hunk of wood, or you can get a bunch of different woods, cut them up and re-glue them together. But anyway, you get this mass of wood, and then you turn it into a cylinder, and then you start shaping it into a bowl. It's really kind of crazy. You have a hunk of wood, and a couple hours later, you have a bowl.
Yeah. So have you set it up to start working on it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I haven't set it. I need more room. I got to put up another building so that I have room
for the mannequins and the lathe.
Exactly.
Turn one of their legs on the lathe, give them a little pirate peg leg for Halloween.
Give one a set of bowls.
A set of bowls.
Bowls.
Made out of burls. Burl bowls.
Burl bowls. Magic.
Yeah, so if you were to turn something on a lathe, like a mannequin leg, and mm-hmm. decorate them for Halloween, you might have people with their children saying, don't go there, that's a stranger. Like your next song, Don't Go to Strangers, with Etta James. And why are you bringing that song? Why listen to that?
Well, God, years ago, I decided, it kind of goes back to when I was in Chicago going to school. My friend Ray kind of broadened my horizon to different music. Before, I was pretty much just classic rock kind of guy. But he would drag us to these smoky little blues bars in the ghettos of Chicago. And then into these crazy jazz clubs. So I decided, I got to get some jazz albums. So I got some Billie Holiday, Etta James, a bunch of... And then they sat there for about a couple of years before I decided to open them and actually play them. So I put the Etta James one, and it's like I fell in love with every song. I was like, wow. So I ended up just like buying every album she had, and I wanted to go see her. Actually, she was supposed to come to Madison Square Garden with Buddy Guy, I think, and B.B. King. And 2 days before the show, she canceled out. She got sick. So they replaced her with someone, and I was like, I wasn't really that. I saw the other guys. I wasn't that excited about driving out to the city and seeing all that. But she never played again. She kind of was in the throes of Alzheimer's. She couldn't remember her lyrics.
Oh, no.
And then kind of the consequence of years of drug abuse and everything else, that she passed away shortly after that. And I never got a chance to hear her sing for real.
Oh, how disappointing.
Yeah, I read that you're right about the Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, she had leukemia. Mm-hmm. And then it was leukemia that Alzheimer's that led to her death, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very sad, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. She has such a big voice. You could just hear she sings with so much power, but it's effortless.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
kind of amazing.
Stars above, but when you need someone true to love, don't go to strangers, darling, come on to me. Play with fire till your fingers burn, and when there's no place for you to turn, don't go to strangers, darling, come on to me. For when you hear a call to follow your heart, you follow your heart, I know. I've been through it all, and I'm an old hand. Understand if you go, so make your mark for your friends to see. But when you need more than company, don't go to strangers, come on to me.
Thank you.
chance to see. But when you need more than company, don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me.
That was James Etta Hawkins, otherwise known as Etta James. That was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Now, Perry.
Yes.
Your next item that you want to take with you is a notebook, pen, and paper.
Yes.
Or rather, pen and pencil.
No. Yeah. If I was going to be away in a cabin, I think I'd want to try to either write some poetry or maybe write some songs. And I kind of...
Have you ever done any of that?
I have, but it's been a long time since I've had the time to just do it. So not that any of them are really good, but...
Well, you know, writing poems and writing songs, there's no really a rule book in what's good or what's not good. So if it's good to you, then it's good. So maybe one day you'll let me see some of them.
I have to find my old notebook. Yeah.
Now, what kind of poems would you like write?
Oh, God.
Limericks? Haikus?
Back in the day, sonnets. But I'd make funny sonnets. So I'd be sitting in class while the teacher was trying to teach something. I'd just be writing funny sonnets and passing around to my friends. And then they'd start laughing. She'd look, what's going on? So thank God I never got caught. So
I don't know. Usually kids are doodling and stuff. If you were writing sonnets, teacher might appreciate it.
Oh. No, not this one.
Have you written any songs?
I have not. Yes and no. I've written lyrics, putting the music to the lyrics. I'm not that good on the guitar. So I've sort of faked it a little bit, but not really. I mean, I've written...
Now, in your mind, when you write a song, is it a rock song? Is it a bluesy song? Is it a love song? It
could be anything. It depends just where my head is going, and then it just goes.
Yeah.
And so half the time I have nothing to write it down with, so by the time I do, I forget what I thought of. So,
Mike, have you ever written a song?
I have never written a song. That's something that...
A poem?
It kind of scares me. You know, I assigned a project years ago that I had gotten from a colleague, where students had an alphabet of vocabulary terms, vocabulary words about the Gilded Age, and they had to, I gave them a month, and they had to put together a booklet of poems with using each word in a way to kind of define it and stuff. And it was my first year teaching, and I got a lot of complaints about this project, a lot of gripes. And the one kid in particular was like, Mr. Porter, I bet you couldn't do this. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this assignment? So after hearing this enough, finally one night I sat down for like 3 hours and I wrote like 12 of these things. I got through like half the alphabet. And the next day I was just like, here you go, buddy. The class's jaw like dropped. So I'm not much of a poet unless I have to be. The next song that you're going to listen to on your Catskill Cabin Getaway is The Real Me by Johnny Adams. Why that song?
Well... This goes back a ways, too. There used to be a TV show called The John LaRoquette Show. And
the what?
The John LaRoquette Show.
Yeah, I know. Was he in Night Court?
He was in Night Court. He was a prosecutor in Night Court. After that show went off there, he got his own show. And there was one scene or one episode where he gets in a fight with his girlfriend. And she leaves and the whole mess. But then at the end, they get back together. She comes over and he puts this album on. And I'm like, wow, that's a great song. But I couldn't remember what it was. So years go by, and I'm watching reruns, and finally that episode came on. I'm like, okay, I got to remember this and write this down. And then I went out the next day and bought the album. It was great.
Well, yeah. That happened to me. I was watching a movie, Jackie Brown.
Okay.
And I think it was right at the beginning of the movie. The woman was walking off the plane, and it was this like 5-minute scene where she just following her walking through the airport. And there was a Bobby Womack song on 110th Street. and I'd never heard it before, and I was like, that is a brilliant song. And it's just the kind of same thing. I went out and bought the album.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the same effect that happened with us, actually. When I heard Johnny Adams, I was like, guy's got an outstanding voice.
Yeah.
And I want to hear more of this guy. So it's the same effect.
Yeah.
So did you play this album to death?
I did. It was that and Etta James were stuck in my car with a Sinatra album and Journey Escape. And that was pretty much in the CD player when it was nothing on the radio or the drive home. Just hit it and let it go.
No one ever saw or wanted to see the real me. I was hiding and sometimes sliding from the real me. No one ever found a reason to take a moment or a season to find the real me. The real me. No one ever knew or wanted to know the real me. When you stood beside me and somehow got inside me and you found the real me. You got through all the surprises, all those defenses and disguises, and found the real me. The real me. Your gentle touch made me strong, showed me the strength that I had all along. And you made all those tangled pieces unwind when you found the real me. The real me. When I look in the mirror, I no longer see the man I used to be. Now looking back at me, all I ever see the real me. All I ever see is the real me.
That was Simply Magnificent by Johnny Adams. So why that song in particular?
Once I heard it and then heard the rest of the album, I just sort of got sucked in.
Is the rest of the album, does it come close?
I think this is the best song in the album, but there's some other, like I said, that funny song with that good lyric is, they're all good. They're all good. But this song, I think this song is kind of the best one on the album.
He has a magnificent voice, doesn't he?
He used to sing gospels. He was a gospel singer. And I don't know exactly how he got hooked up with Doc Thomas and sang and did this album, but it's great.
So when the song says Johnny Adams sings Doc Pomus, is it singing Doc Pomus's songs?
Right.
And Doc Pomus is a songwriter.
I think he wrote a lot of the music in the 50s kind of thing. And I just started reading about him when I was kind of putting this together. Like, yeah, let me look into it. But it's, yeah, so I didn't really get that far into it. But it seems like he wrote a lot of songs for a lot of people.
Yeah, I kind of just quickly looked at it. And I think he was, he won some Grammys for being a songwriter, no, a performer.
Mm.
A bit like kind of Bernie Taupin, you know, with Elton John, you know. Superb.
Yeah.
Now, your next item is a teddy turtle.
A teddy turtle. Yeah. When I was born, my father went and got a, my mother was in the hospital delivering me. He was walking around because they didn't let you in the room then. And he picked up this stuffed turtle. And that was like my little being born present. So, and it kind of fit because, oh, I was a pain.
You've never been a pain.
I put my mother through a really difficult labor. I must have been really warm and comfortable, and I didn't want to come out, so the contractions would come and try to, and I'd sort of wiggle back up. So it was like 8-12 hours of craziness before they finally, the way they had to get me out, they called this big nurse to come down and
called Dr. Paul.
when a contraction pushed me down, the doctor hits this nurse across the back and throws her across my mother's chest and upper stomach, and then had to reach in with the forceps and yank me out.
Oh, good heavens. Yeah. Wow. Doesn't sound very sciencey.
Yeah.
And so you see the picture of me. I'd been fighting for hours. I look like I just went, you know, 3 rounds with Mike Tyson. My face was like scrunched up. So then they put the, you know, they take you to put, they used to put you in a nursery in those days, and all the dads would come look at their little kids, and all the other babies were sleeping, and there's me like sticking my head up over the thing. I didn't sleep at all for the 3 or 4 days that were there. When my mother left, they had me wrapped up. They gave her 2 pacifiers. I said, good luck with this one. And I still haven't slept since, I don't think.
So back to the turtle.
Well, that's basically where the turtle came from. That was my first toy ever.
And so did you say, I'm sorry, is it a stuffed turtle?
It's a stuffed turtle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, feasibly, it could have been a real turtle, and it could still be alive, because some of the turtles do live a long, true. Long time.
Yeah. Like a tortoise, live 113 years.
Wow.
I
read that there was a turtle was found, and it was like 50, it was estimated to be about 50 years old.
Wow.
And it lived another 152 years.
Yeah, there's
over 200.
Yep.
Wow.
Turtles and parrots are not the gift to give somebody. you have to put them in your will for your...
Oh, good heavens.
Now, I have a quiz question for both of you. Turtles live in every single continent apart from one. Which one do you think it is?
Antarctica.
I want to say Antarctica, but...
There might be sea turtles there.
There might be sea turtles. And it seems too obvious. So I will go with Africa.
You should have listened to the man.
Oh,
because
it
was Antarctica.
It is, yeah. I was just like, well, of course there can't be turtles down in Antarctica, but why is it a quiz question? So there must be something tricky going on here.
No, you just...
penguins in Antarctica.
Yeah, you overthought it.
I overthought it. But you know, also there are those migratory... turtles that, who knows, I don't know what their patterns are. Maybe they're making it down to Antarctica, but darn.
But apparently they're the very first thing species that have been on the earth. They've been over 2 million years they've been on the earth before crocodiles and all of that, and before other species.
So they're like dinosaurs.
Yeah, they're basically.
Like the first thing to crawl out of the primordial ooze.
Yeah.
They look kind of like them. We had some snapping turtles where I grew up. Huge things, you know, like a foot, 2 feet almost in diameter, the shell.
Where did you grow up?
Out in western New York.
Okay.
And my parents kind of grew up near some land that was kind of swampy, especially in the spring. And we would just see these massive turtles in the backyard with, you know, the spiky shells and spiky skin.
The giant head sticking out of the water.
That's oh my gosh. Terrifying.
So, yeah, they can take your finger off.
Yeah. Yikes. Scary.
Actually, I was talking to somebody in the work the other day, and they said that there was one sitting on the road, and her boyfriend went over to and it snapped at his and like cut his ankle.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
yikes! Oh.
There's like blood everywhere.
Oh yeah, I saw a video online. I was curious about it, and there's a group online that does like, will it make you bleed or how bad does it hurt? I don't know. It's the series of videos that they do with all these different animals and insects and things. And the guy got bit by this little snapping turtle and that thing just latched on to the palm of his hand and just would not let go. And I can't remember how they got it to let go, but
drilled a screw through his head.
Even then, you know, I don't know.
Oh, I have one of my patients one time, she's telling me how she saw a snapping turtle on the road, so she stopped so nobody would run it over. She didn't know what to do. This other lady pulls up next to her, and she gets out of the car.
Oh, no.
And she goes, so everybody stops. She goes to my patient. She goes, is this yours? She goes, well, no, I was going to help across the road. Look, she opens up her trunk, takes out a stick, puts it by the turtle's mouth. The turtle bites the stick. She picks it up, puts the turtle in her trunk, closes the trunk, and turns to my patient and says, that's dinner, and gets in the car and drives away. She was going to eat the turtle. Yeah. Not that they're good, but that's kind of, my patient stopped to save the turtle. This lady's taking it for dinner.
Wow.
I was not expecting that.
Snapping turtle soup.
Yeah. It actually, I went to one turtle bake. There's supposedly seven.
You went to a turtle bake.
A turtle bake. Yeah, it was sort of by accident, but there's a little local bar down the road from the house, and people I know had rented it out for like a family reunion, and they cook snapping turtle, but snapping turtle has like supposedly seven different kinds of meat inside of it. And so
how could they have seven different, like chicken and fish and all that?
I think it's like different textures of meat, depending on the different muscles. So some they deep fried, some they did it a zillion different ways. They were all good. So you fry anything, it's good, I think.
That's true. Anything boiled in fat is yummy.
So see, most of the time people say, yeah, it tasted like chicken. Why not just buy chicken then? You know, it's like, yeah, I had rattlesnake, tasted like chicken. Well, just leave the rattlesnake and just get some chicken from the freezer.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they have snapping turtles in Panama?
Possibly.
I imagine. Why not?
Your next song is Panama by Van Halen.
Yes.
From their album 1984.
The album Snapping Turtle.
why that song?
Well, again, the guys used to hang out with in high school. Van Halen was sort of like the patron saint of the group. And this one kind of, they all graduated in 1984 too. So this album had just came out and pretty much it was played to death. It was great. I could have picked any song on the album, I think, but this one sort of sums everything up. So.
In middle school, I bought a CD player and wanted to buy a couple CDs. And the first two CDs I bought, I went out with my dad to Media Play or something. Store isn't around anymore, but they used to have, you know, shelves and shelves of CDs. And I got Nirvana and Van Halen. This is one of the first two albums I ever bought. Really cool group, really talented, controversial. Have you heard of the story where David Lee Roth had a tantrum in his dressing room and caused $97,000 damage?
I could see that. I've heard stories of David Lee Roth hanging out with the guys from, who's Tommy Lee? Motley Crue. And he was older than them. And just the drugs and the craziness and the girls and the cops kicking. The cops kicked down the door of their apartment. And it had gotten kicked down so much. Motley Crue had an apartment. and that the hinges weren't even on. And David Lee Roth was by the door, and the cops kicked it in. They ran in. He's under the door, and they're stepping on him, arresting people. They probably pull him out from under. He's like, oh.
Well, the reason for this particular incident was because David Lee Roth went backstage, and in his contract, a certain color M&M was supposed to be withheld from a bowl of M&Ms that they requested. Trivia time. What was that color M&M? Andy?
Blue.
Blue?
They probably didn't have blue ones. I say red. Right? He's probably allergic to red dye.
The answer is brown.
Oh.
Brown M&Ms. Now, you know, a lot of people think, wow, what a diva, how arrogant that
is. Hold on. Perry's trying to rationalize it. He's probably allergic to the dye. He probably drank four bottles of tequila, you know.
So that's what's going to do it. It's that M&M dye. But, you know, so a lot of people think, geez, what an arrogant jerk. You know, he's picky about the color M&Ms. How insane. But there was actually a method to this. Van Halen was maybe the first group to go on the road with these massive, massive three-truck sets and equipment and gear. And they would take this not just to huge venues, but to smaller places. And they had an issue with especially small venues not reading the contract, not reading the agreement, and not realize, because they're not reading it, they're not realizing that, you know, there's going to be tons and tons of equipment on the stage, and if your facility can't handle that, it's going to do major damage or potentially be dangerous and kill people, you know, if the set caves in or if your power can't handle all the electricity needed and the sound and all that stuff. So they included in their contract this little tiny line that said no brown M&Ms. And it was a test so that David Lee Roth could, once they get there, everything's all set up or they're going to set up, he goes backstage and he looks at that bowl of M&Ms and he can see right away if they have nitpicked and read every line and knows that if there are brown M&Ms, they haven't read all the different specifics about the requirements that the group has, and it can put the group in danger. Wow. And in this particular case, this was out in Pueblo, Colorado. He did, from the tantrum he threw when he saw brown M&Ms, he did $12,000 damage. The remaining $85,000 in damage was because the equipment sank through the stage floor that had been placed there or set up or whatever.
Thus, that argument was right.
Yeah, there was a reason for it. It wasn't just because they didn't like brown M&Ms. It's because this is really dangerous and people can get killed because people aren't reading the contract and they don't know when they signed Van Halen that there are some serious demands for the venue. So kind of an interesting thing. You know, there's always two sides to a story. And I had heard that years ago and read about it again. And what a cool group. Panama. It's a good song. I don't do it justice, but...
we're running a little bit hot tonight. I can barely see the road from the heat coming on. Reach down between my legs, ease the seat back.
That was Panama by Van Halen. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA. That's 90.7 FM. If at any point you feel compelled to give to WGXC, which is community radio, please go online and do what you can to keep community radio and shows like Catskill Cabin Conversations going. That song was actually about a car, which is weird for Van Halen. Usually their songs are about girls. David Lee Roth's car was named Panama. And Eddie Van Halen actually brought in his 1972 Lamborghini Mora S, and they put microphones on the exhaust pipe, and that's the car revving sound that you can hear in it. It's Eddie Van Halen's car.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the song was about Panama.
No. It was a car.
All right.
A car that he named Panama, yeah. Amazing guitar players, Van Halen.
Yes.
I love Eruption. Going into Girl, You Really Got Me Now, that one. That Eruption is just unbelievable.
It really is. I wish I could do that.
Well, you know, if you're bringing a guitar on your Catskill Cabin getaway, do you think you could try to practice and get it in by the time you leave?
I think it would take more than the weekend.
Spandex as well.
I need to bring a computer so I can watch YouTube videos and figure it out.
Now, I have a... quiz question for you.
Okay.
Right. What size do you think the biggest guitar in the world is?
Now, what do you mean by size? Do you mean like how many feet long is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Judging by those giant Adirondack chairs they have all over the place, 50 feet.
Mike?
My gut was telling me 10 feet. I'm going to go with 10 feet.
10 feet? Perry was close.
Mm.
40 feet.
Impressive.
Actually, The biggest guitar is about the size of a school bus.
Wow.
So was that made for Andrea the Giant or?
I don't know. I think it was made by Cornell University.
Oh.
Or no, they made the smallest guitar in the world.
Hmm.
How big do you think that is?
5 angstroms or something like that.
It's about the size of 1/1000th of a meter or 1/1000th of an inch. It's tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny.
Incredible.
One more quiz question.
Well, how do you play something like that?
Well,
what are the strings?
You,
atoms?
You can't
carbon
hear.
Fiber.
You can't hear the sound.
Amazing.
Why are these people getting paid to do these things? That's what I want to know.
It had to be a project.
Ladies, gentlemen, we've done it. The 5 angstrom guitar.
Bum, 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 bum.
Hear that?
No. So, the most expensive guitar in the world, how much do you think it's worth?
I'm going to say $20
million. Here's a question. Is it because of who played it or because of the guitar itself?
Because of the guitar itself.
Oh, God. Did you say $20
million? If it was played by Jimi Hendrix, it would probably be worth more, but...
I'd say $100 million.
$2
million. $2
million. Made by somebody in Hong Kong. It's completely laced by... gold and diamonds.
Fancy, wow. Fancy. Jewel encrusted guitar. For those that can't play.
For you two, it's cheap.
for who?
For you two, it was cheap. You said what?
Oh, yeah, I said $20 million.
And you said?
50 or 100, I don't remember now.
Well, you never know with these things. There's always some outlandish right. thing, you know, we use meteorite.
Yeah,
like Tutankhamun's dagger and some ridiculous thing.
We have come to the end of the show, I believe. Unfortunately, we could... Well, there was one question I wanted to ask you before we go.
Okay.
What's the... In terms of... We never really talked about your chiropractic work.
Okay.
What's the most satisfying element of being a chiropractor?
I'd say when somebody comes in and they're really hurting, they come in all bent over and they, because their back is hurt, and they walk out saying, wow, I feel better, and they're standing up straight, or they forget their cane, which happens every so often. Somebody walks in with a cane and they leave without it and like, oh, you forgot something.
Excellent.
That's pretty cool.
Now, when you're doing somebody's neck, is that really satisfying?
If they feel better when it's done.
Because, you know, when I'm getting my neck cracked, it sounds really loud.
It's, you know, it's no louder than any place else, but your ears are right here. So it's just closer to your ears. So it sounds a lot louder in your head. Yeah. Plus, sometimes you get a little echo off your head, so...
Often, sometimes just before it happens, say, what if this goes wrong and like, my neck gets snapped?
Oh, golly.
Now, there's a lot more forces. Like when you get in a car accident, even a little fender bender at 30 miles an hour, your head weighs 10 pounds, or your head's getting snapped back and forth. It's a lot more force put on your neck than when you get an adjustment. Adjustment's pretty controlled. So
yeah.
So when you were training, there was never a moment where the professor's like, now, people, this particular maneuver, when done improperly, 90% of the time results in instant paralysis.
Yeah. No, there was. We never had that disclaimer.
The drill instructor disclaimer. I need a volunteer.
So, have you ever done any like chiropractic work on like animals?
Not really. In New York, it's a little weird because you can't. The only way you can work on animals as like and get paid for it is if you're working with a veterinarian. But, I mean, you could adjust your own dogs or if somebody brings an animal in from time to time, but very rarely. I haven't done too much of that.
So you never adjusted like a snapping turtle's leg or something?
Oh, what?
Snapping turtle's leg.
No.
Have you ever done any chiropractic work on a mannequin?
Well, I have, interestingly, I've made a few adjustments on a few mannequins lately.
We should have a call-in show one day for, like, chiropractic questions.
Yeah.
Dr. Perry.
Yeah.
Neato. Clicks you back into place.
Yeah, but you know, like on Frasier, he can offer psychological advice right then and there. You know, Dr. Perry can't be like, now I need you to position yourself over a couch in just such a way. Now push. Oh, we've had another casualty on the... Oh, well.
That's how most people get hurt, actually, trying to do it themselves.
Yeah.
They either go too hard and either sprain, cause a sprain or a strain injury. And there's been some worse things that... But that's, again, you can't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself.
Yeah.
So. You'll do yourself an injury.
Yep.
All right. On that note, I think we need to leave it, guys.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Finally got you here at the table.
It's only been 2 years, right?
Yeah. So, thank you, Perry.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Perry, we just have one more question for you. How do you take your coffee?
I don't drink coffee. Mountain Dew. That's how I get my caffeine.
Oh. Well, Perry, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me. Hi, I'm Perry Gardianos, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George Gordon and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thank you very much.